The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Down to Biscayne. Yay. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said. You in trouble, y'all. Kept the role playing. Got a all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor Live. I am your under-the-weather host, Greg Sylvander. Today's floor plan with me after the Miami Heat's humbling loss to the Boston Celtics in Game 4 of this series, Sean Rochester, Brian Fonseca, and Naveen Ganglani. They all join me. We're going to break down what was ultimately not a fun night of basketball for Miami Heat fans. Before we do, though, I want to shout out our off-the-floor Discord. 10 or more channels of all kinds of different things you can talk about, but primarily your Miami Heat. This is the place to go. Get off all the other social media apps. $2.99 a month, $3.99 from your Apple device. Check it out. This is on Discord, off the floor. It's pinned to the bottom of this episode, as well as in the description and to the Five Reasons Sports Twitter page. Check out Off the Floor. That is your place for Miami Heat talk day and night. And I'm sure they are upset right now because of what this game just brought to us. What transpired? 102-88, the final score. Other than Bam Adebayo bringing 25 and 17 and having some moments there, which at moments felt like there were, you know, times where Miami was out of the game and people were getting stats. It was just a night where I felt like the Heat were outclassed. And we officially know that this is the talent gap is too big here. Before we dive into all of our segments, sponsors, Naveen, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on tonight's game.
You know, I'm going to get right to it. I think that the Heat have to... Okay, first, about the game. It was horrible. The offense was terrible. Once again, generating open shots, miss after miss after miss. The defense actually did its job. There were little spurts of runs there, but again, just not enough consistency to score the basketball. I mean, Greg, Sean, Brian, there was one point where the Heat had 43 points midway through the third quarter. 43 points midway through the third quarter. I don't know this for a fact, but teams must have had multiple 43-point first quarters this NBA season alone. Same issue, rearing its ugly head at the wrong time. No consistency, missing open shots, 24-second shot clock violations in the postseason. After what Kevin Love said about them having a better game plan, you would expect them to come in with an actual better game plan. And instead, it just looked like the same product as it did last game. Now, again, part of that is maybe they missed some of those open shots. In game two, they made those open shots. It's a make or miss league. But you can't let Derek White go off for, what, a million points in the first half alone. Now, overall, like I said, the team defense did its job. But the offense also led to some easy opportunities for Boston. And it's been the same story all season. It's the same problem. And I'll try to get into this more a little later. But this offseason, there are philosophical aspects of this franchise that they really need to reevaluate. And I know we still have one game to lose before the Heat are officially eliminated. But it's just such a bummer because after they won game two, there's a little slimmer of hope right? Because that's what this team does. You know, get you maybe thinking, okay, maybe they can actually pull this off somehow. Or maybe they can win two or three games and have a great feel-good story to what has been really a crappy season. And then they come home and they crap the bed once again at home. Before I turn the mic over, I just want to point one thing out. The Miami Heat in this build, this Heat build, okay? 2021, 0-2 at home versus Milwaukee. 2022, they lost their final three games at home against Boston in the ECF. 2023, they lost their final four games at home versus Boston and Denver in the Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals. And now they have a current six-game home playoff losing streak. Before today's game, they lost the last five by a total margin of minus 67 points. They were outscored by 67 points at home in their last five home losses. And today, they lost by 14. So that's now minus 81. Is that what Heat culture sounds like? For me, not at all.
Naveen with the good news for all of us. Sean was compiling some stats pre-show about Miami's offense. And there were moments where the defense did show up and Boston didn't play a great game, but yet they just Boston kept creating separation. Why don't you update us on the Heat's numbers so far when the offense is as anemic as it was this evening?
Yeah, I mean, when you hold the Celtics' great historic offense to a 108 offensive rating, you have to kind of applaud what they did. I mean, I think that's one thing for sure. On the other hand, the Heat's offense, again, continues to struggle. And, you know, I think we need to be honest to the fact that you're missing guys that are important to the offense. I mean, that's just that's the truth. I mean, we're not making excuses. The offense wasn't good when those guys were there either. But 94.6 offensive rating, you're not going to win playoff games. You're not going to win regular season games. Proof to that, the Heat are 1-17 now when they're below a 105 offensive rating. I feel like we've referenced this stat too many times in these post-game shows. 45, almost 46% effective field goal. Now they're 4-20 when they're below 50%. The shot diet, I know Brian's going to go to this later. 39% of their shots were behind the arc. Not enough. They had to go for more threes, and I'm sure Brian's going to touch on this, so I'm going to steer clear of that, let him ISO on that later. But when they shot those threes, not enough of them, only 27% from behind the arc. They just didn't make enough shots. They're 4-11 the season now when they're below 30% from behind the arc. To expand on that and not just be data-driven, I thought, and Stan Van Gundy said this a lot, I thought the process at times was good. They generated open looks, but they didn't make them. And so it ultimately doesn't matter. Like, you don't get – we're not going through and, like, doing, like, the all-22s in the NFL and, like, scoring them on how well the possession, how good the routes looked. It doesn't matter unless the ball goes in the basket. And ultimately, we don't have enough weapons at this point to generate enough points. And even though the defense has been great, they've been scrappy, they've fought, and you can look in, point fingers at Derek White and those types of things. But the big picture, the defense has been good enough. And it's really been good enough for four games. Offense, besides the one, not good enough.
Brian, you've harped. We know you were harping on the threes early in the game. This is a thing for you. Your thoughts on game four, which was, you know.
The Greg Freeze? All right. I'll take it from here. 33 threes, 86 field goal attempts. It's not gonna do it, guys. Also, on top of that, of your 33 threes, you made 9 of them. So I feel like they sort of were at some point, hey, not making any threes, got to get inside. And it's like, you kind of don't have the luxury of doing that against the Celtics. And again, this is another example of, here's your game summary. Healthy number one seed beats unhealthy number 8 seed, missing best and third best player. Also, their best shooter's back is, like, destroyed. Like, Duncan Robinson. I didn't even know Duncan Robinson was out there. I looked up at one point, and it was like, he played 3 minutes. And I was like, did I miss all 3 minutes when I was taking a piss? What happened? Honestly, like, they're so shorthanded. Bam is doing what he can. Like, if you watch, this is one of those things where it's like, dog, like, what more do you want from him? Don't know why Nikola Jovic only played 16 minutes as somebody who bet his overs and has been very, like, he's been good this series. I'm quite pissed off about that, just from a betting perspective. But from an actual basketball perspective, I actually do think he's given you some things that you could have leaned on in this series a little bit. The offensive creativity, the playmaking, stretching the floor. He's actually been good from three all season long on decent volume. And, you know, he's somebody who probably could have stretched the floor for them. You know, Tyler Hero, it was the full Tyler Hero experience. No. You know, like it was what it was. Jaime Jaquez left at one point, came back. Kevin Love barely played, not a Kevin Love series. Yeah, it's just like, look, you knew they were going to get overwhelmed for whatever reason. This is the last point. At home, Sean knows I've brought this up all season long, Greg as well. They are the worst team at home against the spread and as a home underdog just in general this season. The Heat are, for whatever reason, they're just awful at home as a home underdog. They were a home underdog again. Coincidentally, they are the second best team in the NBA against the spread as a road underdog, which they're going to be a heavy road underdog on Wednesday. And, you know, for whatever reason, in the playoffs lately, to Naveen's point, they've been better on the road than at home. So there's your optimism for game five, is that they're genuinely a better team on the road, and I don't fucking know why. But yeah, today was kind of like expected to some degree. And you got also a not great Celtics offensive game that you couldn't take advantage of because you insisted on trying to beat them with twos when you couldn't hit your threes. When I felt like, look, at some point, you just got to double down on your three pointers, hope the variance breaks your way, and then live to fight another day.
Very good points. Someone else who humbled the Heat was the guy who we're going to call the Rocky Sports Gamer of the Night. Let's go to that segment.
And now on Five on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500 square foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all day passes available for just $25, but if you mention Five Reasons, it's just $20. So mention Five Reasons or 5RSN, you get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
So as much as I just want to shamelessly give it to Bam Adebayo, no ceiling because he played well and had stats, I do have to shout out Derek White. 38 points, 15 of 26 from the field. What the hell are they doing with Derek White that they can't defend him, Naveen? It is like over and over again, this guy kills us. And again tonight, he has his career performance against us. Why is he a reoccurring nightmare for the Miami Heat?
Well, before I get into that first, I should say probably my most frustrating part of the night is where the Celtics decided to post a picture of Derek White with the caption, "White Hot." That just made my blood boil. I mean, that's where we are right now. Derek White is a sensational basketball player, and he's someone who in the Celtics team plays a role next to some of the superstars, next to the likes of Tatum and Brown and Porzingis, who has kind of become the second or third option this season. But White is better than your average role player. I think he could be, you know, even a second or first leading scorer in a team that's, you know, in the middle of the pack in the conference race. At the same time, too, I feel like the Heat's defense has always been steered towards stopping the likes of Tatum and Brown. And that's why you see all the best defenders and those guys. You see Caleb or Jimmy usually defending those guys, which means you're usually left defending White with guys like in the past, Gabe Vincent, Kyle Lowry, Tyler Hero sometimes. And White, with that size and that ability at the guard position, just has always taken advantage of it. He always finds those openings in the Heat defense, and then for some reason, he just always gets white hot against Miami, and he has tortured this Heat team, this Heat fan base, since Boston acquired him mid-season 2022. He has been really the ultimate X factor for them against Miami, and all the Heat can really do moving forward is try to find a way to stop the great Derek White somehow.
It's not going to be easy. This guy is I'm not going to call him a random scrub Heat killer because he's no scrub, but he is a Heat killer. He continues to do it on the biggest stage against the Miami Heat. And there was also something else done on the biggest stage tonight, and that'll be our A Aggressive Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night. Let's get to that.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at InsuranceByLynette.com. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the weighted handle. I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. It means you can use them longer, and also they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well, and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the play here is Jason Tatum humbling Caleb Martin and dunking directly on his head in the second half of that game. That is probably the play of the night. Derek White had a few dunks, including one on Bam. See, I do call out even when Bam does get dunked on, y'all. I'm not completely biased. But those were the plays of the night. Sean, you got any other ones that you like? And also your final thoughts on adjustments to game five.
I got no adjustments for game five, Greg. I'm going to let you know that. Make sure that the plane is stocked for the ride home. I don't know what else. Look, the play of the night, and I jokingly say this, we got to talk about that flagrant foul on Bam on what was not
such
a shot at
bullshit.
Like, we talked about this on playback. If you want to come to the next game and watch on playback with us on Wednesday, feel free. It'll be a great time. We'll have fun no matter what. If you don't know the play, there was a foul that was clearly a foul that Derek White gets fouled. And then Tatum tries to shoot the ball from the top of the key after the whistle, not a continuation foul or anything like that. And Bam contests it. Well, he contests it and steps in towards Tatum. Tatum stamps on his foot. They call the landing space foul. That shot attempt doesn't count. So I understand there can be flagrant fouls in a dead ball situation. Ball's dead. Somebody walks around, pushes somebody. Clearly, you're going to call that a flagrant or a tech or whatever. But you wouldn't call a goaltending when those guys jump up there and goaltend that shot because that shot doesn't count. Therefore, if the shot doesn't count, how can that be a flagrant? It wasn't intentional. It wasn't anything. And that really – I don't think the game was ever in a potential that the Heat were going to come back. But that was a turning point that the Heat were kind of scrapping, getting it close to, you know, 10. And after that, it was basically a wrap. I don't agree with the call. It's not why we lost. We're not making excuses, but I've just never seen anything like that. And I don't know how you guys interpreted that. I know as Heat fans, we're going to interpret it one way, but I've never seen anything like that. And I think it's a terrible call.
Agree. I thought that, like, the play is dead. If you're going to go and chuck a shot up there to try to get up a heat check, then you get what you get, and you don't pitch a fit, as they say in elementary school. So, like, I didn't take issue with what Bam did. Did any of you thought that that was worthy of the flagrant?
No, because I think people who have a problem with this are people who call fouls and pick up games in the park. Look, I know, like, if you're a Celtic fan, then you hate Stan Van Gundy right now. If you're a Heat fan, like these three up here, you probably love Stan Van Gundy right now. So, like, with Stan Van Gundy, he was basically saying, if you're Bam, you can't give him a free warm-up shot. And he blamed Jason Tatum for taking a shot after the play. That's kind of how that one goes. Like, Jason Tatum is there, and somebody in the comments is like, oh, Bam slid under Jason Tatum on purpose. That's his boy. He did not slide under him on purpose. If anything, Jason Tatum, when you take a jump shot, jump forward, and he jumps forward kind of like into Bam's leg or whatever it was, like, that should not be a flagrant foul. That was not a reckless act. It was just a play that happened that could have been avoided, and then Jason Tatum rolled around on his ankle, and then he was fine after that. So, yes, it could have been bad, but, like, he played the very next play. So, like, what are we talking about here? Like, I don't want to waste my time with this. Like, it was not, like, I don't know how Bam gets a flagrant foul in this situation. And Jason Tatum, like, he was perfectly fine after seemingly rolling his ankle and looked like that was going to be serious. And the whole thing was very confusing. So, there's that.
Any of you expect them to completely abandon the zone up in game five, or is the zone still going to be a part of the mix?
going 1-3-1. I don't know. Let's try a different zone. Let's try.
Honestly, you know what they should do in game five? Just do like, you know, occasionally you get some of these college players that they never take twos. Just only take threes. Just take threes. It gave five.
Yeah. Hey,
just threes. And if you got a dunk, take a dunk. But
I mean, game two.
Like, honestly, it's like, what worked in game two was it wasn't just shooting a bunch of threes. It was like they were generating open threes. Okay. Like, if we want to, like, actually talk about it, they were generating open looks that Boston was just kind of allowing to happen. Boston did a great job of running them off the line early on, which also deterred the Heat from taking threes. But look, the Heat have to scheme up ways to generate open looks from three again, like they did in game two, like they did last year in the playoffs, and like they did all regular season the year before, to much success. And then the other thing is, this is what worked in game two, was kind of forcing Tatum and Brown to play a little more isolation heavy offense and almost effectively take the other guys out of it to some degree. Boston looked very much more cohesive since, and you know, Derek White had 38. Like, sometimes you just can't, like, I tell you all the time, role players win championships. Derek White is one of the best quote unquote role players in the NBA. He could have been an all-star this year, honestly. Like, he got that level of consideration. There are people, like, seriously, there are people who actually think he's the second best player on the Celtics, and some nights it appears to be the case. Tonight he was the best player on the Celtics. So, yeah, I mean, they have to sort of replicate those things from game two. I'm not sure what the other moves are, because this is there's just a large gap here. You don't have Jimmy Butler, right? Like, this is not like, oh, this is, you know, some dude. No, this is a top 10 player in the NBA who's not on your roster right now for this series. And Terry Rozier, who's effectively like your point guard, your best creator from that spot, your third best player. And you don't have those things, and that's a lot. Like, that, those are big losses to overcome against a team that is supposedly a juggernaut and the favorites to win the Eastern Conference again and the favorites to win the NBA title again. They still have to accomplish those things, and this is the year for them to do that. Like, it's setting up for Boston to do that. So it's like, it's a lot for Miami to overcome.
We're going to run through some comments. We're going to take your super chats, which we appreciate, but let's first get to the Eric Rubenstein injury report.
And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan, but the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
For the Heat, it is what it is. I think that you're going to get no Terry, obviously no Jimmy, no Josh for game five. And, you know, Duncan is limited. For Boston, it gets interesting. I'm interested to see if Porzingis plays. I see Sean shaking his head. I would expect maybe they're going to be pretty cautious here. Do any of y'all disagree? I would expect him probably to sit. And for that's them to be. Oh, that's okay. We're going to get to some comments here in a minute.
We should. We got a lot of good comments.
Yeah, let's get to those. So as far as the Heat, we shouldn't expect anything different from an injury front. Jaime Jaquez was missing from the bench for a while, but it appears as if he returned. So nothing to see there. And we'll see. We'll get updates on Porzingis. But with the commanding 3-1 lead, I don't see them trying to push that too much. Let's take some comments and see what we can find here. And let some people vent some frustration out. We'll get it out onto the audio only pod feed. This is from Brandon. We appreciate the $10 donation. I want to give you guys what I think is my first donation just to say this. Blow it up, blow it up, blow it up. There's only two players we should keep moving forward, and they are Bam and Jimmy. I don't think you're the only one who has that sentiment. So I think that all things will be on the table come the summertime. Except probably Bam and Jimmy. Here's another one from Corbs. $10 spot on assessment on today's podcast. This team lacks functional size, and always guarding up affects the team's health. Great job, guys. Thank you very much. We appreciate the kind words.
I will add to that. Listen, the training camp for next season's in 5 months. So there's going to be plenty of time. It looks like, to talk about all these different things. We got some other fun comments that we should definitely get to. Let's get to this one by Jay Smith. Has this series shown y'all anything that we didn't already know heading into it? Honestly, it's a good question. It's a good question. I'm going to say, like, look, as somebody who I went into this series of the mindset, like, you kind of have to, if you're looking at this from an organizational perspective, they kind of have to put everything on the table outside of Jimmy and Bam. I don't think you have anybody else who's really untouchable. There are some people in NBA circles who wonder what's going to happen with Jimmy Butler going forward. I don't think that the Heat are looking to move on from him or anything like that. But, you know, how do you extend the Jimmy and Bam build is what they're going to have to figure out. But strike me down if I'm wrong, but they're actually in a better position than they were last year because they actually have some more things that they could do. It's just a matter of their willingness to do it and what's ultimately out there. And we're going to talk about all those options, I'm sure. But, you know, you got a couple of young pieces now. You got some movable contracts. You have salaries that you can aggregate, and you have some draft picks. So there are some things that they can do. I don't know if I answered the question, but
anything, have y'all learned anything?
I would say the only thing I would add on a positive side is, and we went into the series, I think all of us in agreement that it was a great opportunity for our young guys. And I think, you know, while tonight they didn't play a lot of minutes, overall, I've been pleased with what I've seen from Nico and Jaime really playing roles that are way above where they should be right now. I mean, that's pretty clear. And then the other one that I would add is I think DeLon Wright in his minutes pressuring the ball and just being scrappy, I've enjoyed seeing him, and I think he's someone that I would like to see come back.
We should go through Matt. We just got a bunch of comments that just got fired up off the screen. Let's go through a few of them before we get out of here. Naveen, look, man, this is one of the last games of the season. Like, you know?
Yeah, no, let's do it. So this is from Dennis to Naveen. I'm just signing you up for this one. At what point do we stop giving the front office a pass?
I think we have to stop giving them a pass now. And let me tell you guys why. First of all, just to add the Jimmy part, after everything he's done for the franchise, after he said multiple times he wants to retire in a Heat jersey and what he just means to the franchise at this point and what message it would send, by letting him stay here and his career. I think that's very important, especially what happened with Dwayne Wade. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Now, we need to stop giving the front office a pass. I'll tell you why. Because they're not living up to the standards that they themselves have set for this franchise. Okay? Let's go at it slowly by slowly, using their favorite slogan. Hardest working, best conditioned, most professional, unselfish, toughest, meanest, nastiest team in the NBA. Is that still the case? Well, are they the most hardest working team after the way they've played in the regular season the last 2 years? I don't think so. I mean, there's been some games where the energy has been flat out lethargic. Best conditioned, I know injuries can be random and sometimes they're freak injuries, but the fact that guys are constantly in and out of the lineup, I mean, you can't call yourself the best conditioned team in the NBA if you're not always available. Most professional, sure, it would be nice to get some clarity and some injuries though. Unselfish, yes, they're an unselfish team, we know that. But they're not the toughest, meanest, nastiest team in the NBA anymore. The Celtics, for some stretches, just kind of body them all over the place today. Tatum dunking on Caleb. Derek putting Bam in the poster. I mean, if the Heat are who they want to stay, they are. And part of that is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is to win a championship. Then they need to start providing actions that make the fan base believe once again that they are living up to that standard that they have set for themselves. And this season, it just, I know that the Dame trade wasn't exactly their fault. Shout out Joe Cronin, but the other things that they've done through along the way just have to really back that up. And I feel like they need to make changes to back that up. Now, the good news is, historically, when the Heat have seasons like this, where it kind of just goes haywire, they typically tend to bounce back right away the next season. I think about 2021, how that ended, and how they came back in 2022 and ended up with the number one seed in the East. So maybe next season will be better. Hopefully, they do have some great pieces now. Like Brian said, that they can dangle in trades or conversations, moves, or pieces that even if they come back, I think would be better. Jovic and Hawkes particularly. But yeah, right now it doesn't look great.
This one comes in from Dean. We need to readjust to the new NBA. Time to consider a quick, soft rebuild. I'd call it a reset more than a rebuild. And I don't know if I'm quite willing to say that they need to go too far off into the abyss of losing to try to reshape this thing. Final thoughts, Sean, Brian, go right ahead.
They're not going to go full rebuild with Jimmy Butler on the roster. They're not doing that.
Thank you.
Now, does that mean they're going to go all in to the level that people want them to? I'm not sure. I'll say this, though. The last time they lost in the first round, they actually did things in the following offseason. Now, it probably wasn't what everybody wanted, but Kyle Lowry was the best free agent on the market. They went out and got him. They also got PJ Tucker. They became the one seed and were shot within getting back to the NBA Finals. And also, I think, could have beaten the Warriors that year. Like, that actually would have been a very interesting series. The Kyle Lowry thing was what it was at the end of it. But the point of it is, like, they actually went out and did something. It just didn't work out after the first year. I think that because they lose in the first round this year, unless some shit happens, some miracle happens, but we all expected them to lose in this series. I expect them to make some changes, like some actual changes, going into next season. But again, there's May, there's June, there's July. Like, you got time for all this shit. Yeah. You got to burn it after game four, whatever fucking game this was in the Eastern Conference.
Game four, you're right. We don't need to burn it. I agree. It's just the flexibility thing means that that's going to have to be all done via trade. They don't have any
wins. Yeah, yeah. That's the other thing. Because Sales D actually says, who's the best free agent for 2024? And I would say, don't even look at that because unless it's a sign and trade, which, you know, like now we have aprons and all this other shit. Like, again, there's going to be time to get into all that stuff. But the point of it is, like, trades and the best guys don't even get to free agency anymore. So we know who the names are, at least for right now. We actually have to see how the playoffs end for certain teams. Are the Cavs going to actually beat the Orlando Magic? How are they going to look against the Celtics if they do beat the Orlando Magic? Like, you know, there's a lot of different things that we have to sort of see play out. So we'll see.
Right. And also, we shouldn't underrate Bam being in the Olympic roster in a few months. I think if one of those guys he happens to be teammates with, just kind of slips, maybe the fact that they're probably looking for a new team to contend with. I feel Miami would be in the position to have the assets to make a deal. And that's something that we should look forward to as a positive this offseason. And if Bam can kind of play that Wade role of making it happen. I mean, remember, the big three came together because of the 08 Olympics. That's where it started, right? So
that's very true.
Exactly. So maybe I'm just looking for the positives right now and what's a really tough aftermath, but it's still something that should be considered.
Absolutely. We will get you set for game five, all of the adjustments on the off day pod, trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do to try to get another victory in this series. For Naveen, Brian, Sean, all of our sponsors, I appreciate all of your time. We appreciate you rocking with us. If this is our last show amongst us for the home games, then thank you for rocking with us all season. You'll have the whole Five on the Flu, that's for me, Five on the Floor crew back here shortly. And that's a perfectly timed ending for this. Peace out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.